Joey Bland, Ashley Ward, Al Samuels, Brendan Dowling, and I'm your host, John Hartman. Welcome, everybody, to Baby Wants Candy, the improvised musical podcast. With us, as always, besides the cast that you just heard, we have the Yes Band on the keys. We got Dan Wessels. And on the drums, we got Eric Culver.
Those are magical drums.
They are. I don't know how he does it. He won't tell us. And we have also got assistant producer Patrick Polson here in the studio. Hi, Patrick.
Hello.
Thank you all for being here and for listening again. In a moment, we're going to perform a completely improvised musical, which is Baby Wants Candy's signature form, completely made up on the spot, off the tops of our heads, never to be done again. But because we are about to do what I've just mentioned is our signature form, some people have asked us, actually, how Baby Wants Candy started or how we got involved
with
it.
Who's asked us?
Patrick was just asking me, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, somebody.
He didn't want to be named, but now the nameless shall be named.
Yeah. Thanks for calling me out.
I just like to have sources cited.
Yeah.
I agree.
Especially today.
It's real cool.
Yeah,
people are saying that could mean a lot. Yeah.
That's true. Now, people are saying that Baby Wants Candy is like one of the top musical improv groups around.
Which people are saying? We were saying that.
We were saying that earlier. And even then, we were doing it in quotes.
Yes.
But yeah, we were actually just talking about this before, about how some of us got involved in Baby Wants Candy and how it started. Al's actually an original founding member of Baby Wants Candy.
Hi.
Ashley just found that out.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He's been saying he's a newbie.
Yeah, he said he just joined.
Yeah, where is the coffee maker, guys? Where do you keep the snacks?
Okay.
How did it start, Al?
We were new team 30 or something like that at Improv Olympic, which is I.O. now in Chicago. And
that means that Sharna put you guys together, right?
Or
I.O. put you together.
Peter Gwynn, who's in Baby Wants Candy, he asked some of us to be part of a group. And we were called the experimental team, which if you've ever been on what's called a Herald team, that's a form that's performed at a number of different improv venues, created, I think, at I.O., or Improv Olympic. But everyone's always like, oh, we're going to do a true Herald, or we're going to do a really unique version of the Herald. Like, you get this hilarious sense of like more importance than it is. And we tried all these forms, and one of the worst forms that we tried was a documentary, which was just such painfulness. It was like it was as boring as it sounds, like talking heads and nothing was happening. It was like, we're going to improvise a documentary about toasters. It was terrible. I mean, probably in better hands, it would have done fine. And then another one that we did was had a coach that was, he pulled out a giant soup pot from the back of the bar that we used to rehearse in. And he was like, I'm just going to bang on this pot and you guys do what you think would be great for this show. And this is a rehearsal. And so
we paid him money for that.
We paid him fucking money for this. So we are, Jimmy Corrine, if those of you guys know Jimmy Corrine, Stephanie Weir was part of this, but all these people are jumping around, jumping up and down to the beat of this pot. And we thought, and then he would jump into a scene and we thought it was the biggest genius thing of all time. So we go to a show that Friday, and at I.O. there's a keyboard player at every show, and in the ultimate form of hubris, our director went up to the piano player and said, you know what, we're not going to need you today. And the piano player was like, are you sure? He's like, we're not going to. So he started, our director started banging on his pot, and we danced around stage and improvised, and there was not a single laugh for the worst show of all time.
Eric, you have a pot that you could play on?
At least a pot sound effect over there?
Oh my God, I think that would be
there
so
has to be.
Great if we could horrible. Just have a... Oh, well.
You can't... He's not shaking bad. His head. I don't know if you can hear him, but he's shaking his head. Okay. But then we started doing improvised musicals, and audiences warmed to that when there's actually music in it.
Wow.
So that's how we got started.
That's so cool.
And what year was that?
97, 98?
Because then I moved to Chicago in 2000, and Brendan was living there already.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved there, Baby Wants Candy was the like headlining weekend team. It was like a coveted time slot on the schedule that was occupied by Baby Wants Candy every weekend. And they had the title of the house team of Improv Olympic or something.
Yeah.
So it was a big, well-established thing, and it was like a real... big deal. Like, and among every, like, audiences loved it, and students really ate it up too. It was like a really fun thing to go and check out. So it was that, and that was only like 3 years in. It was super well established.
And you had already been to Edinburgh a couple of times by that point, right?
Yeah, we went to Edinburgh. There's a big theater festival in Scotland every August, which we go to. We were going to go and then just disband the group because it's very expensive to go. But we had success in Edinburgh, luckily, and came back. And Sharna was like, "Yeah, why don't you play a few nights at I.O.?" That's a good Sharna impression. Sharna Halpern, she's the woman who runs. She runs I.O.
Was it? Were you going to disband because it was expensive because you thought you would all hate each other? Or because you would just be like, we can't ever think about that?
Too many personal issues about the money.
Little column A, little column B.
I remember going to a fundraising party at I.O. Chicago.
Oh, God.
Maybe like in 1999. It was right around the time, like, I hadn't been in Chicago very long, but you all were, it must have been the spring of 99, and you were having a fundraiser for going to Scotland, and Ali Davis, as part of it, was doing tarot card readings. And so I paid to get my tarot card read, and I was like, I'm talking to Ali Davis. This is a very big deal for me.
Nice.
I can't
Were there Rice Krispies being sold at these things?
Is like that Rice slang Krispie for something?
No, Rice Krispie treats. No, Rice boxes of Rice Krispies. We used to sell Rice Krispie treats. Oops.
I'll that take was a two big boxes of Honey Smacks.
I remember someone was like, everyone's got to make Rice Krispie treats and sell them. And I was like, I can't sit and make so I bought Rice Krispies packaged ones and wrapped them and sold them.
Nobody bought any.
Weird. It's horrible.
Weird.
My God.
Well, thank you, Al. That's not the story that you told me about how it started. So
yeah, such auspicious all news to me. Beginnings from a faux homemade Rice Krispie treats to where we are now.
Yeah, and Ashley, you're from the New York cast, right?
I am, yeah. And I'd seen y'all perform in New York a few times. And then at some point, I guess enough of y'all had moved out to New York that y'all decided to have auditions. And I think it was the first time y'all had invited some people that you knew in New York or that people, you know, but you didn't know me. And so I auditioned. And I got on, you guys. Spoiler alert, I made it.
Congratulations is still.
I know. No one can believe it to this day. yeah, so it was very exciting.
And then, Johnny, you were more recent. You were a little more recent.
Yeah, well,
Chicago.
When I joined, you guys had already moved to the Apollo Theater in Chicago.
I think John and I were almost the same time. I was like 2009.
That would be around when I did it, too. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then went to Edinburgh with Ashley.
In
2 years later?
11.
2011.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then
here's our son.
Oh,
come on in!
Get in here!
Brewster, get in here!
Little Colin Sandel.
Colin, don't tell them that he was a plant.
He's a 7-year-old with a Facebook account.
Well, we're going to go and get a title now for our musical, which is going to come from the internet. Patrick, where is our title coming from today?
This one's coming from our Facebook page.
From our Facebook page.
Okay. This is from Emma Landry, and the title is Return of the Thespians.
Emma Landry has given us the title Return of the Thespians. Thank you very much. Baby Wants Candy is proud to present the opening and sadly closing night of The Return of the Thespians, the musical! Tip of the tongue. The lips.
Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather.
Bright copper kettle in a bright copper pot.
Thespians, this is our chance. This town has not had theater in years.
What a gift we can bring to them.
That's right, we can bring the gift of theater like no one else can.
Finally, our elocution and our emotional resonance shall have a gift here in this backwater bayou.
So what if it's against the law currently? It's time to bring back theater.
They'll go to bed tonight not knowing the pleasures of Thespis, but they'll awaken tomorrow with their eyes open for the first time.
Yes, everyone will get diction lessons and headshots.
Back, we're back,
can convey any emotion through my eyes. I know my Alexander technique and my Meisner exercise. I'll do this thing because I have a gift, and this little town shall have a muse-like lift, 'cause we're back, we're back, we're back,
we're backstage.
We're back in this town now, soon we'll be treated as lords. When people come out to see these thespians trotting the boards, we'll make sure they will know that this is not a simple game, and we won't get bad luck by saying the play, we can't say its name. We're back! We're back! We're back! We're backstage! 10 minutes, everyone.
Have you seen these flyers? They're all over town.
Yeah, it's like kind of littering, right?
Yeah, Melissa, this stuff just is, it's stacked up. It's nailed to telephone poles and trees and everywhere. But though I don't usually like litter, I'm really intrigued. It says play tonight.
What does that even mean? Like play what? Monopoly? Scrabble?
Maybe football? I don't know. That's pretty dangerous.
Yeah, I don't want any part of football.
No. You're so funny.
No, you are, Tony.
I don't know. I'm kind of an extrovert.
You really are. I mean, I wouldn't have even bothered to read the flyers because, like, I don't know. Who am I going to talk to about it with other than you? And you'll tell me. So why read?
I'll talk about anything. And I like to read.
Yeah, you're the best, Tony.
Oh, man. For some reason, I feel like we got to not show this to our parents.
Yeah. It could be our little secret. Just me and you. Maybe we could go to see what this play is?
It says 7:30. It's really specific about the time of whatever this thing is.
Oh, man, we're so not used to that. Everything here is usually just at a vague time, like when the sun is hot or when it's less hot.
Hot time or cooler times.
Yeah.
Sometimes gone sun is a time here.
Gone sun, yeah. Like, so this is going to be like a gone sun 30, really.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's a cool time. It's a magic hour at that time here.
Yeah, I've actually never hung out with anyone but my family at that time of day.
Oh yeah, our families aren't going to let us out at that time. We'd have to sneak out.
Really?
I'll do it if you will.
I'll do it if you will. I'll do whatever you want.
I'll meet you at the gazebo at 7:15 and then we'll walk over to the park. It says it'll be the playing tonight at 7:30 on the band shell.
What's the band shell?
It must be that
big weird white thing in the middle of the park that's always in our way when we're running?
No, that's just Alan.
Oh. Don't tell
He's
me.
He's always in the way. Yeah, it must be that stage-looking thing right behind where Alan always sits around and gets in our way.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's a date then.
Oh my God. I hadn't even thought about it as a date.
It's all I think about. I shouldn't have said that. That's an inside thought, not an outside my mouth thought.
What's happening to us?
I don't know. But I like it.
Yeah.
Even though it's scary. If I'm doing something new, I want to do it with you, Tony.
I couldn't have put it better myself. The sun goes down every night. I don't know why tonight is different. I know why, I guess, 'cause there's a play tonight. I didn't even know what that meant. But it seems that things are changing, that's for certain.
It seems like they're rearranging Rising Curtain, and we're entering a new age. This is quite a different stage.
Tonight we'll find out what the world has already known. Tonight we'll find out what it feels like when you are grown.
Now, what are all these sounds? All these things we've never heard are seen in this conservative town. Look at all these characters. The buildings are new and it all seems different with you.
What is it, Eudora?
I'm so sorry. Sorry for interrupting your sermon.
Oh, that's all right. Everyone, I'm just going to take a quick pause
here. How does it end?
What's happening?
How does it end?
Oh, well, in due time, in due time. Here, Eudora, come to the antechamber.
I'm so out of breath. Reverend, Reverend.
You're perspiring.
I'm sweating. I'm like an ice pitcher. Reverend, look at this. It's a sign for a play. You outlawed dancing and theater in this city years ago. But your daughter, she found one. And she found a boy.
Melissa found a flyer? Oh, this is every father's worst nightmare. I had to outlaw theater in this town when a production of The Gin Game killed 20 people.
I remember it so well. But I wouldn't mind the details again.
Oh. It was me and my first wife. You don't remember her?
No.
She was a gentle spirit.
That's whose picture is above the crucifix in the church, right?
Yes. As is customary in our congregation, we always put the preacher has the right to put a picture of his deceased first wife above the cross. Hannah had the spiritual intuition to really capture Lillian Hellman's words. And she plumbed new depths of emotion during a matinee of The Gin Game that the entire audience decided, instead of lifting themselves in rapturous applause, they all ritualistically committed suicide.
You're hurting my hand.
I'm sorry. The memory is too potent. Hannah was distraught after she caused all these people to kill themselves with her talent. And so she swore that she would never, ever act again. And she proved herself right when she walked off the cliff later that afternoon. I've had to raise my daughter Melissa by myself. She's 23. Acts a little bit more innocent than a 23-year-old should, but I suppose that's my fault.
Reverend, that congregation's getting ornery out there. How does it end? When the boulder's moved away, what do they find? Is he there?
All in good time, May Alice.
We've
all in good time.
We've never heard this story before. Well,
I'm telling
it's
you.
It's a rip-roaring yarn if I ever heard one.
I'm on tenterhooks.
You're crushing my hand, Reverend.
I'm sorry, Eudora. It's all coming back. What if Hannah's gifts have lain dormant in Melissa? What if she is the acting prophecy we've been waiting for?
Is that what happens?
Reverend, how will you be able to put out this spark once the fire has been lit?
I guess I'm going to have to be a theater fighter.
A what?
A theater fighter. Look out, everybody, about this, I'll make no bones. I'm gonna take down every Meryl Streep and Jerry Jones. I'm gonna give this drama a beating and take it down like it was the Yankee Den of a theater fighter. Theater fighter. I'm not gonna let anyone survive. I'm a theater fighter. Oh, I'll not be tempted by Eve's apple core. I'm gonna make sure we don't have any Julianne Moore. You won't ask me if I drive a Kia or a Honda. There won't be anyone, not a Spacek or a Fonda. I'm a theater fighter. A theater fighter. My burden's not getting any lighter because I'm a theater fighter.
Well, it looks like you have experienced so much trauma. For someone who hates theater, you know a lot about drama. Tell you something, Reverend, no ifs, ands, or buts. All of these actors come to you, even though they're deep cuts.
Well, I won't do this, although your hand feels so bony.
Ow!
I'm gonna kill all these people like McDonald kills the Tonys. That's Audra McDonald, she's won probably six or seven. But I'll see all of you triple threats up in heaven. I'm a theater fighter. A theater fighter. Oh, Glenn Close's shells are getting heavier. They're not getting lighter. I'm a theater fighter. A theater fighter. I'm taking you to heights unseen, cause I'm a theater fighter.
Gather around. Play is tonight. We all know. As far as dress rehearsals go, that was abysmal. And I applaud you for it.
Thank you. Yes.
That means the show will be excellent.
I always think the best time to try new things is at final dress.
And you made some interesting choices, wardrobe-wise and vocally tonight. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, Alvin.
Those new steps are killer. I'm exhausted.
Is it triple time step, shuffle, slide, shuffle, slide?
It's triple time step, shuffle, slide, slide, shuffle.
Ow!
No. Triple time step, shuffle, pas de bourrée. Step, shuffle.
Oh, God,
Alvin,
we left out the pas de bourrée.
I have a question that is not choreography related. Oh! But what if no one comes to the show? We know theater has been banned in this town.
Yes. I understand. This is a concern on all of our minds tonight.
Will we perform even if there's an audience of no one but squirrels?
Has it ever been done before? Has anyone ever done a play in which there was no audience, Alvin?
Why don't you ever slap me?
Your history with tattling. Now,
what?
Now, if there is no one there tonight, no physical bodies in the audience, the show will go on. Because there's someone always watching. Whether
God.
They're in... No, there's oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, yeah.
What, we're theater
forgot.
People. We don't believe in God.
I told you about that. He's a great character, though.
Alvin is our God. He is our director.
Well, I wouldn't say it. Okay, that's fine.
And the theater is our temple.
That's right. And the play is our Bible.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the scripture is this original three-act play that I've written.
What's the makeup?
Heavy foundation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, metaphorically,
and
the makeup
eyeshadow.
Made by Ben Nye.
Oh, it's a foundation.
Yes.
Yes. What about the lights?
What about them?
What do they represent?
Religiously.
Oh, religiously, angels.
Of course. Yes. God's got an answer for everything.
And they will not fall tonight, as the best angels don't.
I hope not. We can't afford another light-falling accident that kills one of our leads.
No, I know.
That's right.
I remember all too well.
Your dear departed wife, Caroline.
Her picture stands above the center stage.
Yes.
In all of our shows.
It's the right of every director to put a picture of whoever he wants over center stage in the play and not have it distract from the actual play. I miss her every day. I dedicate this work to her, as you may have read between the lines in the work.
Between the Lines, your blog?
Yes, Between the Lines. Theater musings and other thoughts.
Alvin, do you think Caroline will be able to watch this play from heaven?
She's who I'm referring to if no one shows up. So she'll be watching.
We believe in heaven, but no God.
That's
just
right.
Just making sure.
Well, there's definitely an afterlife. But it doesn't mean it's denominational.
You know everything.
Well, I guess I am a god. In a way you couldn't understand. I am a god. Not merely a man. I'm more than a mortal. Standing here before you. I am not just flesh and bone, I'm a god, it's true. I bring life to the theater, that's what I represent. And the lights and the boards and the work, they are all different. And I give you life every day, it is all good. Me breathing direction to you is your water and it's your food. I am a god.
You are a god.
I guess I'm a god.
You are a god.
You forced my hand, I didn't want to say it, but okay, I am a god. I can help you find your own way. I'm like a god before the show. I disappear and return on the third day. I can tell you from my excellent direction. After this play is done, I'll rise in a resurrection. I am a god.
You are a god.
From up above, we'll put on this play for you with a delicate glove. I wrote it for you to summon, for you to come back to earth tonight like an angel or a demon. I am a god.
You are the god.
I bring to you.
You are a god.
The
is it, Melissa?
Oh, hi. I wasn't sure if you'd show up.
Oh, I've been hiding back here waiting for you.
Oh, sorry. It was really hard. My dad was really peeking over my shoulder tonight, you know?
Yeah. Your dad's a lot harder to trick than mine. I just put a lot of medicine in their dinner and they're knocked out cold on the kitchen floor.
Oh. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt the two of you, but can either of you read?
What?
What do you mean? Yeah.
It's our lead actress. She just fell asleep, and I don't think she's going to wake up. I can't get into it right now.
What's an actress? Melissa, you're like the best reader in our whole school. Oh, you were when we were in school before we were in our early 20s.
I mean, yeah, we can read, but we don't know anything about acting.
You don't need to know anything about acting. All you need to do is show up on the spots where you're supposed to and read the words and feel the emotions and react and listen and be in the moment. Here's the script.
What is this? It's like a book, but it's all broken up with people's names in front of all the words.
Wait, are you really 23 and this stupid?
How dare you?
Hey, leave her alone.
I'm an actor. I tell it like it is.
Well, then I'm going to tell it like it is. One more crack like that, and I'm going to knock your block off, mister.
Try knocking my block off, because I'm a blockhead. Listen, baby, if you want to be in this play, you have exactly 3 minutes to get on stage.
Well, this has really taken a turn from you being desperate for me to be involved to you threatening me.
Melissa,
to do
are
something
you
that
I'm an actor. My emotions aren't my own.
Melissa, oh my God. Look at this script. Read these words. This is everything that you've always said to me in secret about our town and about people living their fullest lives. And God, look at this. Read these words. This is captivating stuff. How we need to throw off the shackles of our parents and not be who they want us to be all the time. This is revolutionary.
Here, put on this scarf.
Okay.
And some light foundation, some rouge.
Oh my gosh.
Some lipstick.
My face. Tony, are you sure?
No, I'm not sure. That's what makes it so fun.
But you'll be there and you'll watch, right?
Oh, I'm still coming. Nothing could keep me away from seeing this.
Okay, then I'll do it. Okay, so what do I do? I just wear this scarf and read these words and stand before you push me?
Hey, listen, mister. She doesn't know a single thing about acting. You're going to have to teach it all really quick.
The first lesson of acting is real easy. Just listen to what people say and open your eyes.
She's doing
that.
When you're surprised at something, furrow your brow, keep your chin down. And when you're sad, look away, pretend to cry.
Okay.
When you feel happy, feel sad. When you feel sad, feel happy.
What?
When you want to shock your scene partner, wait a few seconds.
Huh?
Take long pauses between the words, as if you're thinking. That mimics thinking and makes people think you've got an interior life.
This is acting. This is acting. Is this acting? I don't know.
This is acting.
You are acting.
This is acting.
Look at her acting.
This is acting
in the show.
I can see your interior life through your eyes. Look at the way that you hold your mouth. When you want to express something, you seem to put your elbows out to the side.
That's just natural.
You're doing such a good job of walking frontwards and backwards. I cannot believe that acting is something you've never tried. And I'm falling in love with you more than I ever did before. You seem to be acting as yourself, and yet a little more. You're smiling when you're sad. When you're happy, then you frown. You're the greatest girl, the greatest actor in this town.
This is acting.
Oh!
Reverend.
Eudora.
I'm sorry for interrupting your sermon again.
No, it's fine.
Oh, come on here. I got blue balls about this damn story.
Oh, what happens at the next envelope?
I'm out of breath. I'm sweating.
Eudora, you're covered in a sheen of perspiration.
Yes, and my own filth. I've been running for an hour. I've got horrible news.
An hour? The only thing that's an hour away by running is the abandoned bandshell where the gin game was 20 years ago.
Oh, no. Well, it's not so abandoned anymore, Reverend.
Oh, Eudora, your telltale 12-minute miles gave you away. What's happening?
Your daughter, Melissa, she's acting in the play.
What?
Did you not hear me?
My deepest fear.
Okay.
My daughter doing the very same activity that killed my wife, her mother. Congregation?
Yes?
I'm afraid we'll have to wait a little while to find the conclusion of the three envelopes of Job.
Oh, hell!
We just want to hear the end of a story.
Well, I'd like to hear the end of destruction. Join me, won't you? Come to the abandoned bandshell.
They're putting on a play?
But it's Sun Gone 30. No one goes to the abandoned bandshell at this time of day.
Maybe we have to stop going to the places where we don't go.
What?
And start going to the places where we do.
I'll follow him.
I'm confused on what?
Eudora, if my daughter's talents are seen even by one person, the gift will be so great that it'll cause people to kill themselves, and that will be an act more devastating than the plagues of Egypt.
Ooh, tell us more about that.
I'd like to hear more about plagues.
There's no time.
My hand, you're crushing my hand.
Eudora, my name's Clint Maywood. I'm a member of this congregation. I've got some baby wipes you may need. You stink to high heaven.
Oh, but there's no time.
There's no time for the abandoned bandshell.
Thanks for the ride, Fat Alan.
Hey, no problem. You can get off my back now.
So what do we do? Do we start performing, or?
Of course.
Well, let's take
of
a course. Look. I'm going to look outside the curtain and see if anyone's arrived yet.
Oh, yeah,
no, no. No one again. No one yet.
You too, young and in love. We're old aged thespians. We don't know what it's like to truly feel anymore.
But you two can.
Are you kidding? I mean, we feel everything except each other.
Yeah, we've never touched.
Oh, but...
No. Yeah.
Really?
That's the only thing we do in rehearsals. Touch each other.
Oh. You've never done a back rub circle?
Oh my god, I've never had a back rub.
Oh my god, I'm so embarrassed.
You've never done a herky jerky cascade?
I don't even know what that is.
You've never done a very slow enactment of fight choreography?
Fight choreography?
What does that mean?
Here. The secret of great acting is you get to touch each other. Everybody, whether they play your son, daughter, or mother.
I guess I'll try it. This isn't what I'd planned. Hey, Melissa, would you like to hold my hand?
This is how you act real. Get quite close to each other, and then you begin to feel. Acting will help you soar like an eagle, and you get to touch each other, and with acting, it is legal.
Now we're hugging, we're in an embrace, hugging cheek to cheek and touching face to face.
It's fabulous.
Our shoulders are touching, our hips are touching, on and on and such. It seems like drama. By drama, I've been touched.
So now you know that the drama you feel is real, and use this acting power to allow your young heart to heal. And touch, you may sweat from it like a church lady's secretion. So touch and rub and touch and rub up until completion.
Oh, oh boy, hello. Wow.
Oh, yes, boy. Now you're acting.
Oh, man.
I'm done.
Hello. Oh, I'm nowhere close to done. Keep going.
Well, fake it till you make it.
I'm gonna lie down.
That's acting.
Okay. I'm gonna lie down on this couch. On this ready couch.
Okay, I'll lie with you.
Yes, yes, disappointment. This is acting.
Melissa, I can't believe what we're doing back here. And the play hasn't even started yet.
I know. It's the greatest thing we've ever done and the best idea you've ever had.
Oh, man. Well, I better get around to the front of house and sit down and watch.
Yeah, here. Take these tissues. Your pants are a wreck.
Oh, yeah. Oh, jeez. I'm really embarrassed, but also, that was awesome.
Yeah. I'll see you after the show.
Break a leg. Wow. What am I talking about?
You're talking like a real actor. Oh, my God. You're so funny.
Everybody, there's no one out there, but over the hill, any moment, it's possible someone may arrive. So we're going to start the show.
Tony will be out there. He'll be watching.
That's right. We have one person in the audience. One paying customer.
And Fat Alan's almost always out there.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
When he sits around the house, he really sits around the house.
Oh, you've heard of him.
Good one, God.
I got a lot of Fat Alan jokes.
There's one more person.
Daddy!
Melissa, get your things. We're going home.
No, but Daddy, no.
Melissa, you don't understand. This is how your mother was killed.
I know. It's how you think she was killed. But she killed herself. And it wasn't because she was in a play. I've learned so much today. I've learned about mental illness and depression, which can lead to suicide. And that's what happened to Mom. And all those people that killed themselves while watching her perform, they were all also mentally ill.
What?
Wow. That's not going to happen to me, Daddy. You can't protect me from everything in the world.
You're right. You're not my little girl anymore. You're
no.
a 23-year-old woman.
That's right.
Oh, dear Lord.
And yes.
You act a lot younger.
I know.
But not in a great way. Maturity-wise, I mean.
Melissa,
I mean, you've got an innocence.
Melissa.
Go on.
Daddy.
If this is what you really want to do, well then, I'm going to trust you and let you do it.
It is the thing I most want to do in the world. The second most is to lay down with Tony again and give it another shot with all the rubbing. But good. This is number one.
Good for you on both accounts.
Reverend.
Eudora.
I'm sorry.
Who is this sweaty, disgustingly filthy woman?
This is my friend Eudora.
I'm sorry.
She has hyperhidrosis.
I'm sweating and I've got my own filth that's trickling down my legs. Reverend, the congregation's outside with torches. They're ready to burn the band shell down.
Well, then I better go talk to them.
Well, bring them inside. It's all right. Have them be seated. They can watch the first act. If they don't like it, they can burn the place down. If they do, let them stay and watch the show.
You've got yourself a deal.
Do you really believe that, Alvin?
Oh, sometimes in this business you have to gamble. I don't know. I don't know if the play's any good or not. It hasn't been put up yet. I'm just going on God's own instinct.
Do you know who else was a gambler? Kenny Rogers. And also Willie Loman.
That's right. The hero of my favorite work.
That's right.
Eudora, how do you know about Willie Loman?
I don't know. Suddenly there was a light from above, and I'd suddenly know all about theater.
That's Caroline, looking down on us, providing special lights.
So we're really gonna do this?
The show
must go on, no matter what you think. And the show will happen whether it gets raves or it stinks. The show must go on until the end. And soon we'll find out whether from it we've made some new friends. The show must go on. The show must go on. Until the sun's gone, the show must go on.
The show must go on, or why do we even bother? I've got so much to prove to myself and to my father. The show must go on, I believe that it's true. And when I'm over with the show, Tony, I will be right there with you. The show must go on. The show must go on.
The show must go on. I'm sitting in the front row. I just saw her. I need to see her again in the show. She's changed, she's different, but she's not someone else. When she puts on the makeup and says the words, she's a bigger, greater version of herself.
The show must go on. The show must go on.
Oh, what is this that we have chanced upon?
The show must go
people are about to torch the whole band shell, and our lead actor just took a slip and fall on that woman's filth.
Oh, great! They're not sitting down? They're not watching the show?
No, and we're at the finale. What are we going to do?
This is just what I thought might happen. I had a vision. Even God has visions, and they always come true. So this is just about right.
Who's going to be the lead?
I guess I could do it.
Oh, I was thinking the kid in the kid that fooled around with her got fingered.
You know, I'm gonna go actually with Tony. That's better. I've never acted before, and I have a terrible piss problem in front of people. Not that I can't piss in front of people or in public restrooms, but it more that when I get in front of people, I piss.
I remember.
Excuse me. Excuse me, Dad. Excuse me. There's someone crawling down here. Yes.
What? Oh my God! You're that guy from backstage.
Yes.
I saw you before the show started.
I'm Alvin, but you can call me God.
Hi, God. Well, I gotta say, this show is an answer to my prayers. I've never felt so alive. Everything's going great, except for those people wanting to burn it all down.
Yes, and there were a couple of choreo problems in the end of the first act, but I've given them some notes. Anyway, our lead actor just had a slip and fall.
Oh, no. What does that mean? Drugs?
Yeah, you read right through me. Yeah, he's crack cocaine.
Oh my God, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's really making a return.
And opium. Being in the kind of town we're in, that's a real problem.
Straight up opium, though?
Yeah.
Or opiates.
Alvin, the audience has been sitting for 23 minutes. Nothing is happening on stage.
That's a normal Broadway intermission. Anyway.
It's not intermission.
Burn it down.
Anyway,
burn it
Tony,
down.
Would you be willing to step in, perform, and act?
Well, I think I've got all the lessons down. Smile when I'm sad and likewise.
That's right.
Okay.
The end of the play does a little bit of moralizing and takes some risks. I think you can handle it.
Well, does it mean I get to be on stage with Melissa?
It does. and there's a kiss at the end.
Oh my god, that's the one thing we didn't do earlier. We did almost everything else.
Wait, the Reverend's getting on stage!
People, people!
Burn it!
Put down your torches!
If we put them down, the grass will catch on fire.
Blow out your torches!
How does the story end?
Safely dispose of your Molotov cocktails. Unwrap the barbed wire from your Louisville sluggers. You aren't acting like theatergoers, like good church-going people. You're acting like an unruly mob of animals.
We thought there were rules in this town and that rules were made to be followed.
You said if we came down here and shut this down, you'd tell us the end of the story of the envelopes. Yes. I've got envelopes. I'd like to know what other stories involve envelopes. That's just news I could use.
Yes. Fine. I will tell you the story of the envelopes. When Jesus was born, he got 3 gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And within 30 days of receiving those gifts, Mary sent thank you notes to the 3 wise men, Balthazar, Jebediah, and
Melchior.
And Melchior.
Melchior, Dad.
And Melchior.
I know the story, too.
Oh, look, it's his daughter.
Yes, but you love my father's sermons and stories so much. This isn't so different, this play that we're doing. Daddy, he misunderstood why all those people died during the gym game.
It turned out that my wife was actually, well, not so much acting, but she was a leader of a low-key cult and had convinced her followers that if they all committed suicide, you know what, you find out things about your former wife and you ignore some of the warning signs, but anyway.
So my wife was one of those people as well.
Caroline Navisian.
Indeed. Normally she'd be up there with the other greats. Streep. Jones.
Steenburgen.
McDonald.
Mercedes Rule.
Mary McConnell.
Lee Remick.
They're enacting the last love scene.
Lee
they're
Grant.
Going to do it.
Oh my gosh, it's Daddy and Alvin. Tony, look.
Spencer Tracy.
This is incredible.
Oh my god.
Raquel Welch.
But what
Ian
will they
McShane.
Do when the kiss happens?
James Coburn.
All these
Anthony
tears.
Perkins.
They're getting closer and closer.
Oh my goodness. Go for it, Daddy. Go for it.
You're acting, Reverend.
Acting's like preaching. Oh, it takes your spirit higher. But looking in the face of God, I'm consumed with desire.
Take one final leap, Reverend. Move forward, take a lurch. And you might just find out why acting for some of us is our church.
Oh, you're giving me a new kind of hope. You've opened my heart like it was Mary's envelope.
Now you can follow. Your eyes are open to see. As you've been delivering your own soliloquy.
Kiss me, actor.
Kiss me, actor. Plant one and smooch me, dear actor.
They're kissing. They're kissing.
Hey, Melissa, what do you say we do the same thing? What do you say we go backstage and finish what we started?
Let's do it.
Kiss me, actor.
Kiss me, actor.
Oh no! One of the torches wasn't put out. The grass is caught on fire. Huh, and now the stage is caught on fire. Oh no! The band shell's burning down. And just when love was found.
Tony, it's so hot.
Oh god, it is hot.
How do we put out this fire?
Oh. Hey, hey, hey!
Oh,
Alan!
Use your 720-gallon
big gun!
off Eudora's adult diaper and throw it!
Oh. Oh.
The stage is covered in coke and shit.
Is this how every play ends?
I hope so. I've never felt so alive.
Me either.
You know, it turns out those envelopes were all about gratitude. They were thank you notes. I'm really thankful for these actors, and I'm thankful for your dad, and I'm thankful for you, Melissa.
Same.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic performance. Both of you. You're born actors, you know it?
Excuse me. I'm Ben Brantley from the New York Times.
Oh,
I send out these invitations. I just don't know if anyone will actually come.
I watched your little pageant, and it moved me in a way that I haven't been moved in years. You're getting a 5-star rave in the Times tomorrow.
Whoa.
Wow.
That sounds great.
I don't even know what that means, but it must be good.
I don't know who he is or what he's doing, but I'm
Ben Bradley from the New York Times.
We don't read that down in this little burg.
That's right, and Ben Bradley is the only New York Times...
Ben Bradley.
What's your name?
Ben Bradley. Ben.
Okay, I was thinking of someone else. Never mind.
Okay. Look.
Phew.
Melissa, I can see what's happening. You're going to get pulled away to New York City. I'm gonna come with you.
Yeah.
We're gonna make a go of this, even though we're just kids. I'm only 29.
I'm not going anywhere without you, Tony. So get ready to move to New York or maybe even LA.
There's good work in Toronto, too.
Is that true, Alvin?
But do they cast out of there, or is that
local
like...
Local hires
okay,
only.
Okay, well, I don't know.
The Guthrie Theater in Minnesota is doing innovative work.
As so is the Actors Theater options. In Louisville, Kentucky.
So many options. But don't worry. No matter how far we go away... and live this crazy, itinerant lifestyle, we'll always be back.
That's
we'll
right.
We'll always come back.
You know it.
We'll come back. We'll come back. We'll come back. We'll come back safe.
Oh, here, Alan. It looks like the two of us are heading to a place where we can finally be free and have a wedding.
Oh yes, no longer will my heart feel so much number. Now that we are together, we can name actresses by the number.
We'll come back, we'll come back. We'll come back. We'll come backstage.
Look at the people in the streets, Reverend. They're all acting.
Oh, some of them are miming. Some of them are doing guerrilla street theater. Some of them are interviewing townspeople and putting on grassroots productions. A la Anna DeVera Smith.
Oh, Tony, my love for you will always burn.
Speak the truth. It seems that plays are true. And the one thing I'll always come back to is you. We'll come back. We'll come back. We'll come back. We'll come back.
We've got Joey Bland, Ashley Ward, Al Samuels, Brendan Dowling. I've been your host, John Harbin. Our amazing band, Dan Wessels on the keys, Eric Halber on the drums. Baby Wants Candy, the podcast, is a co-production of Baby Wants Candy and Invisible Treats. Executive producers, Emily DeRizis and Chris Grace. Assistant producer, Patrick Polson. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Yay.